All right, everybody, praise God. We are back here live. I want to thank God for everybody coming on out here this afternoon to worship the Lord with us here. Let's go ahead and turn our hymnals. The first song that we're going to sing here is page 275. Let's go ahead and turn our hymnals to page 275. I want to thank God for everybody that came out here today. All right, let's go ahead and turn our hymnals to page 275. It is well with my soul. Amen. It is well with my soul. Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught to say, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regard my helpless estate, it hath shed his own blood for my soul.
It is well
with my soul, it is well with my soul. My sin, bliss
of this
glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
with my soul,
it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when faith shall recite, the clouds be
back
as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well
with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Praise God. All right, let's go ahead and turn in our hymnal to page 191. 191. Let's go ahead and count our blessings. Amen. And then we're going to sing our special, Count Your Blessings. If you are with us online, you can Google search on your smartphone, Count Your Blessings hymn, page 191 in the red for those of you guys that are in-house today. Praise the Lord. On the one.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
On the two.
Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
On the third.
When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy.
Amen.
Your reward in heaven or your homes on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
On the last.
So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all.
Amen.
Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's go ahead and look up to the screen for today's special that we're going to sing. Hopefully you guys can see it from there. But this song is a little old school, and we'd like to sing it here on behalf of my wife and myself to you today. And just do your best to go along with the flow. It's real easy and simple, but we hope to minister to you like the Word of God tells us to in Ephesians, to sing unto you in spiritual songs and hymns. Amen.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears.
One more time.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears.
Amen. Glory to God. All right, guys. Well, we're going to welcome up Brother Quamain to give our announcements. Imaginary fist bumps and elbows to each other. Amen. Brother Quamain, if you can make your way on up here today, amen. And praise the Lord, brother, we found the USB, so now you can use this mouse pad.
Amen. Well, welcome, y'all. Welcome, y'all who are joining us online. Thank you for joining us here. This is Simple Faith Baptist Church. My name is Quamain. You can call me Brother Q. I'm going to go ahead and give some quick announcements real quick. Thank you for y'all who have joined us physically. We are still abiding by the rules. We have less than eight people here today. So, but thank y'all for y'all who are tuned in online, though. Again, you want to definitely hear the word of God being preached, as the Bible says. You want to give attendance to hearing. You want to attain the wise counsel. So hopefully you came to do that. And hopefully we can do that for you. Praise God. By the grace of God, we can. All right, so a quick announcement real quick. So the calendar tab here, it just shows you the past, current, and future events that we have going on here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. Again, a lot of things are on hold because of the whole coronavirus and the social distancing factor. But again, God willing, this thing will be lifted, and we can start back in our ministry. So please keep take a look at this calendar tab so you can see what's going on here. And more details, just the general things that happen every week here at Simple Faith Baptist, what we have on our regular schedule. If you see right here on this our home page, you'll see our hours. This is our regular schedule minus the calendar tab, which are like special events. So every Sunday at 1 p.m. we have Sunday school. We're currently going through, if you haven't been following along with us, I encourage you to do so. A Sure Foundation to Work by Mr. And Brother James Knox. Solid study. We're almost finished with the book. Praise God. It's been an awesome journey. So I'm sure for those who've been following, it's been good for you too. So that lasts. It's a 30-minute class from 1 to 1:30 every Sunday. 1:45, we worship God in spirit and truth. We're here to hear the word of God, give a quick announcement. And then usually service ends at around about 3 p.m. So please join us for that physically or online. Because of the whole social distancing factor. All right, so Wednesday nights, we have our Wednesday night Bible study. Same thing, we're rightly dividing the Word of God. We're fellowshipping. Also, that 1 week out of each month, we have a time of prayer and worship. So one Wednesday out of every month, we want to do that. Okay, so please join us for that. And also Friday nights, we gather and maybe it's like five or six of us. And we watch, we're currently watching an awesome work about creation from Brother Kent Hovind. I've been learning a lot. The ones who've been joining us learned a lot about proof of God's creation. And contrary to the whole evolution, Big Bang theory. So it's an awesome study. I'm learning a lot. And it just makes this whole evolution Big Bang thing just sound ridiculous. And it's pretty awesome because he's backing it up with facts. So praise God for that. So moving right along, let's go ahead and go to that prayer tab, which is the most important tab here. Because God says, be instant in prayer. Pray without ceasing. So it's important to him. It should be important to us. This is the prayer tab here. And on here, you'll see, I'm looking for our little box here. There it is. We'll see right here in our little box, this is where you submit the prayer request, okay? And it's not just prayer, but prayer is very, very important. Also, praise reports as well. And you can see here on the in the middle section here of people who are in need of prayer. You can use that to pray for one another. But I really believe that it's not necessary, but you should know somebody who needs prayer if you're fellowshipping, okay? Because we all need it, and including you, I'm sure. So again, this is the prayer request portion here where you can submit prayer details right here. You can go ahead and give it like a little category here. If so, it will be public, but if you don't want it public, just let us know in the comments, and we'll just keep you in prayer as a church, and it won't be public on the page, all right? So moving right along, let's go ahead and go to the live stream link here, which is definitely important nowadays because of the social distancing. So we are on Facebook. We have our church page there, where it's Facebook Live. Also on there, YouTube, Periscope, and we also have podcasts for you who are traveling and you can't look at a video. You can hear us on podcasts as well. However we can get the word of God to you is there for you on that live stream tab, all right? Last two tabs is the Bible study tab. I love this tab here because these brothers have been ministering to my heart. A lot of the brothers and sisters here at heart who listen to these brothers preach and teach the word of God, amen, and it's been a blessing. I look forward to one of the studies that's coming up from Brother James Knox, talking about, he's in Romans 7 right now, and I look forward to that. And please utilize these. These brothers have been doing this a lot longer than we have. Well seasoned. I got a chance to share Brother James Knox with another brother who I've been talking to in a long time. He called me out of the blue. And it was a blessing to be able to minister to him. He had questions about the Bible. Praise God that God was able to use me at that moment to share with him what the Word of God says for his questions. And I went ahead and shared with him another brother, Mr. James Knox, to help him out as well. So, again, it's very useful. Please utilize that. Amen. And then last thing, online giving. This is between you and the Lord. God is looking at our hearts. Whatever you purpose in your heart as unto the Lord, that's what God loves, a cheerful giver. And so if you would like to give to Simple Faith Baptist, it's going to be used for the work of ministry. It's going to be used for flyers, gospel tracts, right? It's going to be used for T-shirts that said Jesus Saves to spark a conversation to preach the gospel. It's going to be used for this building where we come in worship and we pray and we come and hear the Word of God. And it's going to be used for the online platforms where we can get the Word of God out. So if you would like to give unto the Simple Faith Baptist Church, it's between you and Christ, whatever you purpose in your heart to the Lord. Well, with that being said, that's the quick announcement. Again, my name is Brother Kwame, and I hope you came for the Word of God. I welcome up Brother Carlos to go ahead and preach it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Kwame. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Kwame.
Woohoo!
Man, what a packed out house we have today. Praise the Lord, Brother Kwame. We are almost at capacity with pews. That's pretty much what's going on here. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. You know what? We're thankful that the Lord is here with us. Amen. He's the most important guest that we want to please here today. We don't want to look to the quantity of those that physically attend to discourage us, because according to Revelation, he walks in the midst of the churches. So, Lord, if you are here, we know that you are. Please be pleased. We welcome you. Of course, this is for your glory and yours alone. Let's not be discouraged by the physical amount of people that we don't see here today. Do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, and we're going to go down here to verses 38 through 39. This is going to be our part 2 in our study of the Word of God as we prepare ourselves for one of the most interesting, one of the most debated chapters in the Word of God, in Romans chapter 9 through 11, in regards to how people deal with the people of Israel because they don't believe the Bible, number one. They don't believe it's perfect, number two. And number three, because they don't know how to rightly divide it through a dispensational aspect, they fail to recognize that God's promises to Israel are still in existence. They are still presently active. And because they fail to rightly divide between Israel and God's dealings with them in the future, the church and God's dealing with us in the future, and the Gentiles, they will get confused when they read the chapters in 9 through 11. And in regards to the end times and how a remnant of Israel will be saved, and how it deals with everything else in regards to the salvation for the soul. But not a problem for us because we believe the Bible, not a problem for us because we rightly divide it. So we'll try to open up Romans chapter 9 if we have time to. But today I just wanted to give our church here a part 2 to reconsider verses 38 through 39 in regards to anything that you may be facing today as a Christian that may be discouraging you today, that may be affecting how you think about God, or maybe affecting your fellowship with other Christians. Maybe you're not really going to church. Maybe there's a lot of things that are attacking you in your mind from the spiritual influences that are unseen to the naked eye, be it the devil or devils or the world around you, like me in the workplace. I'm very discouraged because I work with unbelievers. They have a filthy mouth. They have vain imaginations, but I'm called to be a light. I'm called to pray for them. I'm called to be a minister of reconciliation unto them. But it is discouraging at times. And much like we'll see that when the Hebrews rejected Paul's teaching of Jesus, we're going to see in Romans 9, his heart was sorrowful. And so it's okay to be sad sometimes when you're trying to witness and win believers and they're not responding. But it's also sad too when you already have believers and they're not responding to the word in obedience. That kind of bumps me out when I see church members not doing that. But you know what? I know the Lord does care for every single saved member of his body. I know he's not going to leave him nor forsake him, but I know he's going to deal with you in your conscience and in your heart when you're not walking in his word. Amen. So please, we do miss you. We do ask that you would follow the word of God no matter where you're at. Don't be discouraged by the things taking place, as we're going to read right now, once again in 38 through 39, to encourage us in our study. Okay, so hope you have a Bible. I hope you are tuning in with us. If you are online, hope you have your own Bible. to follow along with us, amen, as we go through today's study together here in Romans chapter 8. The Word of God states in verse number 38, this is Paul speaking. As a matter of fact, let's just go back up here for just a hair bit of context to remind ourselves of who we are talking about. This particular portion of Scripture in the Holy Bible is being written to those that are in Christ. These are saved, born-again members of the body of Christ. And if we do our best to pay attention to the Scriptures today, there will be no confusion or sadness as it pertains to how we deal with these portions ahead of time. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in... To them which are in Christ Jesus. The question is, are you in Christ Jesus or not? Have you been born again? Have you received the gospel of Jesus Christ when somebody presented to you, be it by the preaching of the mouth, maybe a gospel tract, like a piece of paper telling you how to get saved? If you are in Christ today, according to Romans 8:1, as the authoritative word of God on the planet between heaven and us today, God says his condemnation against you is no longer in existence because his wrath has been turned from you when it was placed on Christ. Since you accepted that, you are in Christ. Hence, there is no condemnation against you anymore for your sin. But it doesn't end there, Christian. Keep reading with me. Verse number 1. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Obedience. If you walk after the flesh, God will be upset with you because you're disregarding his word. When you start going after your feelings and your flesh and maybe false teachers and pastors out there who don't rightly teach God's holy word to suit your needs, you know, itching ears, the word of God already warned you, you will be under his condemnation and his hand will be heavy upon you. I'll show you. Keep going down with me through Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Where is your mind today, friend? Is it on Christ? Is it on his word? Your conscience will be led by the Spirit of God, and you'll be walking in a manner that is well-pleasing in his sight. But if you're minding the things of the Spirit, the flesh, you're going after the sensations, you know, how you feel, what you think's right, not God's word, you disregard it. Bible says you're minding things that are death and not life. So keep going with me. Verse number 8, so then they that are in the flesh not please God. How about that? If you're walking after the flesh, you are not pleasing God. Look at what the Bible says in verse 12 through 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You owe God your life to live for him and his purposes and his glory. Don't allow any excuses to hinder you from obeying your God. Don't allow your wife who doesn't want to follow God. Don't allow your family who doesn't want to follow God. Don't allow your children who want to be rebellious against the things of God. Don't allow your government or the culture around you today from hindering you to what you owe your Savior. That is a life that is surrendered to him. I'm telling you, friend, as I prepare this today's teaching, I'm trying to get your mind on spiritual things. I'm trying to take it right now from the distractions of your flesh, whatever's in your mind, whatever that devil is trying to shoot those flaming darts of arrows to hate a brother or disregard a brother, or whatever the case may be, even your own self, maybe your own spiritual life, maybe you're doubting yourself, maybe you're arguing with yourself. Let's get the mind, let's put it back on the Word of God, and that way the Word will direct our steps, and then you'll be pleasing to God. Let's keep going. Word of God tells us in verse number 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. These are to them that are in Christ. These are to them whom God promised to work out all things together for the good. I want you to follow the Word of God. I want you to obey it more than your feelings. I don't want you to be in this state of condemnation between you and your Father because sin is hindering your fellowship with God. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Praise God, you have a choice. You wake up in the morning, who's going to be in control? Is it going to be God or is it going to be me? Is it going to be his word or is it going to be my words, my feelings, what I think? I chose God today, friend, but my flesh wasn't going to follow along very comfortably. You can ask my wife, Sister Katie. She'll tell you straight up, yeah, my husband has to put the flesh in subjection to choose God, no matter how I felt waking up, no matter what I thought waking up, and all the vain imaginations that run through this old natural man. I said, we're going to get in this Word of God, and we're going to pray together, even if I'm upset with myself or with her or whatever, because I'm going to choose
His word. Now that I know what it expects of me, now that I know what it states, I have a choice. Man, it's on me now. The Lord is, he's just waiting for me to do the thing or not. So get that back in your mind. Remember what Romans 8 is talking about. Now we know positionally we're in Christ. Our eternity is secure in Christ. Whatever has been predestinated by the Father, if you keep going down, what those that are promised in Christ have been promised ahead of time by the Father to the Son, as he is going to conform them to his image. He's going to glorify them like him. And most of all, he's going to work out all things together for the good. And now that love is inseparable because you are in his Son positionally, you are in Christ. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And in that triune relationship of the Godhead of the Bible, 1 John 5:7, we know that there is unconditional, inseparable love. I'm sorry. So we know our future. So because we know our future, how are we acting today? How is my life reflecting what I know to be true for my eternal destiny? Verse number 38, Paul now reminding himself and reminding us of all these things that have been penned from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to chapter 8, verse 38. He says here in verse number 38, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? We'll talk about that. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, that love of God is solely available in the person of Jesus Christ, not in a religion, not in your church denominational headquarters, not in your church membership, not in your water baptism, not in your works, past, present, or the future. It doesn't matter. That love is solely available in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, like we read in verse 1, you have no longer condemnation from the wrath of God the Father against your sin, because remember, your sin has been placed on Christ. He is the propitiation, right? He is the perfect sacrifice that was offered to God. And then when you trusted in him after you heard the gospel, you were saved from wrath through him. Romans 5. So now that you're in Christ positionally, nothing is going to be able to separate his love from you. But what about his fellowship with you while you're on the earth? Romans 8, earlier in the chapter. I'm telling you, this chapter is a really tough chapter for carnal Christians. Christians that want to make up all type of excuses. And you know what? Even saying that God told them. That's a sad shame. You see, God is not going to tell you anything that he didn't already write down in this book. That's how you can tell if it's just my flesh or if it's the Spirit of God whispering in my ear not to go to church, not to listen to the preacher. So my question and my provoke unto us today is, are we persuaded like Paul? That's kind of the theme. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again, another day of life and breath not promised to us on this earth. I pray the Holy Ghost would help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear wonderful things from thy holy word, the Bible. No matter how we came in, Lord, help us to live different, Lord, so we can look more like Jesus. For any unconfessed sin from those that are hearing me online or those that are in house, and even myself, Lord, would you forgive us? Help us, Lord, to be real with you, because you're clearly real with us in how your word reveals your current heart and your thoughts toward us. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 38. Paul states that he is persuaded that none of these created things are able to separate the love of God which has been imputed to his soul. Your soul, my soul, if you are in Christ. Through the mediary work of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you, church, is this. Are you persuaded like Paul today? If yes, how does your life reflect that belief? Is it obvious to those who live around you? Is it obvious to those of your coworkers in your workplace? But if not, why not? Has the devil or the devils or the world around you been influencing you more than God's Holy Spirit and his word? If you are not continually abiding in his word, you will hinder the Spirit's ability to communicate with your soul the love of God. Turn with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read in verse number 33.
Now, if I go a little too fast, don't worry. I have the screen. You can just look up to the screen. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33. Holy Ghost telling us through Paul the Apostle, the doctrine given to the apostles for the establishment of doctrine for the church. Watch this, verse 33. Be not deceived, because you can be. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Do you see that? You see, good manners have been supernaturally transferred to your spirit and your conscience and your understanding to not only grow in and grow up and mature in the Holy Ghost transferring you the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost transferring you spiritual gifts, the Holy Ghost transferring you wisdom and understanding. All that has been made available to you by the Holy Ghost when you heard the gospel of Jesus. And when you put your faith and trust in Him, you were a new man. You became a new creature. According to God, all things became new. Old things passed away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But notice that even after you receive the new man, even after you become a born-again saint, the world, the devil, and you, your flesh, can corrupt the good manners that you now possess in Christ. You see, Paul said he's persuaded that none of those things can separate his love or the love of God from him. Has anything been influencing you today on that love or what separates that understanding from your understanding today? The only thing that I could see is evil communications. Those evil communications can be brought by the world, the devil, and all these things, okay? So now let's go ahead and turn now our Bible to Psalm chapter number 42. And what I would like to do today is give us some easy scriptures to meditate upon and to read to encourage us on how to be persuaded, just like Paul was, and to remind ourselves of these amazing truths that God has for us in Christ. Psalm chapter number 42. Psalm chapter number 42. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to verse number 11. Have any of you guys ever had a bad day? Raise your hand. How many of you guys are having a bad day today? Raise your hand. How many of you guys are lying and are trying to make it worse? No, I'm just kidding. You know what the psalmist, I love reading the Psalms because they keep it real. When the Holy Ghost pricked their heart to write what was upon their heart or their meditations about the culture around them at the time, we can see sometimes they have heavy hearts, even though they already had God's written word and the Ten Commandments and even writings from the prophets. Now look at what the psalmist says here in Psalm 42, verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You see, the psalmist's heart was troubled. The word disquieted from the Noah Webster's 1820 dictionary defines it as this: his soul was uneasy or restless or disturbed or harassed. You know what Paul is going to tell us in chapter 9 of Romans? That he had a heavy heart. His heart was sorrowful. Same thing he said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. He had a broken heart. He was trembling when he was presenting the words of God. You see, as a Christian, you're not going to escape the sorrows of this life, and they will affect your soul. You will feel bad at times. You're going to have bad days, and you're going to feel sad. That is okay. But what do we need to do to remind ourselves to trust in His word? We need to tell ourselves, because look at the psalmist. Oh, my soul, he's talking to himself. Why art thou disquieted with me? Hey, Carlos, what's up, man? Why are you acting like that? Why are you being so saddened by the things that you're facing? You know what the psalmist does? He reminds himself to what?
hope in God. He does not remind himself to hope in his finances. He does not remind himself to hope in his government or his politics or the Hebrew culture of his day. He reminds himself to hope in God. And I'm going to tell you where that hope is available. One more place, Psalm 43, a couple of, just one chapter to the right. Look at what he says in verse number 5. Psalm 43, verse number 5. Two times the psalmist says this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know what he tells himself? Hey, self, yeah, why are you saddened? He may talk to himself about the problems. We don't know. I'm pretty sure you talk to yourself about your own problems all the day long. I know I talk to myself like my self-thoughts of what, how I interpret the world around me. But he says, you know what? I'm going to continue to praise God. No matter what's going on, no matter what the situation may be. New Testament Christian, Romans 8, are any of those things going to be able to separate the love of God which is in your soul? Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, rulers, things now, things to come. You know, is any of that going to be able to hinder the established truth that God has dispensed to you today from the written word, telling you about the love that he has for you now in Christ whom you are in? The Holy Ghost says, no, none of those things. But we have problems. We still go through life. I sin, others sin. We're going to feel the effects of not only our own sin, but the sins of others. And at times, we're going to be bummed out, for lack of better terms. We're going to have days that we feel down and saddened. But you need to tell yourself, self, you need to hope in God's word. Because who is the health of his countenance? Look what it says. God is the health of his countenance. Isn't that amazing? What is countenance? Watch this. Countenance, literally the contents of a body. The outline and extent which constitutes the whole figure or external appearance. Appropriately, the human face, etc., etc. The appearance of the face, as in the phrase or change in the alter of the countenance. The face, in other words, it's the face of your being, right? That's the countenance. So now we can see here, I'm just trying to see if there's any other... Yeah, so maintaining the cause, et cetera, et cetera. It's the show, it's the resemblance of the appearance, right? You know what the writer of the psalmist is saying? That God and his word is the health of how he's going to physically feel and how he's going to physically look. You know that word of God will affect your mind, and then your mind will affect your body. Usually when you smile, it's because you have a happy thought or a happy feeling. The word of God tells us in the book of Proverbs that a good word in its due season is like medicine to the bones. There's something that's supernaturally going to happen to change the state of your mind from being sad to joyful when you are meditating upon this word, because it is the health of your countenance. Here's the psalmist, two times he reminds himself. A couple of verses I'd like to remind you and I today of ways that we can remind ourselves of his word and love, and to keep our soul uplifted. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible now to Psalm chapter number 4. We're going to be in the book of Psalms for the next 10 minutes or so. And like I said, don't worry, we're going to have these on the screen here. I'm going to go through these a little quickly. Psalm chapter 4, verses 6 through number 8. I'm going to remind you and I today of some verses to help us on how to meditate upon these truths, to be persuaded that his word is true, that nothing can separate our love. We need to remind ourselves of, to be assured of, like Paul says, he was persuaded. Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8, the word of God says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. How about that? Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Yeah, you know what's awesome? Is while the world may be satisfied temporarily by drugs or the material possessions, the vehicles, the cars, the alcohol, you know what the psalmist says? God, you put more gladness in my heart than their corn and their wine as they were prospering. Why?
because he is the health and the light of their countenance. He says here in verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You say, brother, I'm having a hard time sleeping at night. I know I have lately. I don't know what it's caused by, either stress or just my body. Maybe the way that our little mattress is currently in our temporal situation. I slept good last night. But spiritually, I'm talking about spiritually for the mind. This psalmist says he is able to lay down in peace when he sleeps because God is his hope and his countenance. Psalm 36. Psalm chapter 36, verses 7 through number 10. Psalm 36, 7 through 10. The Word of God says, How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Notice his pleasures, not ours. Now watch this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. For with thee, this is God he's referring to, is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Where have you been trying to get answers to your questions about the problems in your life, friend? Have you been trying to acquire them from the light of the Word of God? Or have you been going to the unbelievers of this world? Have you been seeking advice about the situations or problems you have with yourself or with your family by going to an unbeliever in your workplace? Maybe Google searching unbelievers in their scholarly journals, quote unquote, about how to go about this and that? Or are you going to the one who has the fountain of life that's everlasting? The Word of God says, only in your light am I able to see light. You know what Jesus said while he was on the earth? I am the light of the world. If any man walk in me, he's not going to walk in darkness. John chapter 3 tells you when Jesus is presented to the gospel preaching, men love darkness rather than light. They have the light available, but they want to do the darkness. They're not able to see in darkness. I can see today. I have the truth of his word. I can meditate upon the light of his word that's able to enlighten my mind or my situation and how I should go about it. I can then remind my soul, soul, hope thou in God, because the word is what's going to be your light in that present situation. Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Bible says in verse 3 and 4, Psalm 43, 3 and 4, O send out thy light and thy truth. Lord, please continue to do that. Let them lead me. Now notice that. Look at that. Let God, let your light and your truth lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And just like we read earlier, right, the soul being cast down. What is the psalmist requesting? God, I need your light. I need your truth. Let that lead me. Yes. Paul said in Romans 8, he's persuaded that none of those things that he was going through, which were many, many, many things, was able to separate the love of God, which was in Christ. The question that I asked earlier, are we persuaded? Are we reminded? And are we reminding ourselves of the truth and the light of God's word to lead you in the decisions that you're making today? Some people didn't come to church today. That's okay. What was the reason for it? Was it guided by the light of the Word of God? Some people don't want to share Christ. Was that decision guided by the light of the Word of God? Some people don't want to fellowship. Was it guided by the light and truth of the Word of God? That's the question that I'm posing to you today, friend, because I know what His truth tells me to do, and it's going to lead me to do what it tells me to do. The only other information that's going to hinder me is the evil communication, the lust of the flesh, the devils that I war against that are going to hinder me. Psalm chapter 89. Psalm the 89th chapter. We're going to turn our Bibles now to verses 14 through 15. Psalm 89, verses 14 through 15. Now remember how earlier we just read, let thy truth, right, and thy light guide me, let them lead me. verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Wow! Isn't that amazing? How are you and I today going to hear the truths, the judgments, the justice, and the mercy of God? It's when you go to church and you hear the preacher preach his words, and when it's being sounded from his mouth, and there's the heart of the audience member receiving it, believing it, there's joy because the Holy Ghost is pouring out the love of God in your heart. You're allowing him to minister to you through the preaching of his word. You know what God says? You will be blessed. And not only that, if you walk in it, remember what we talked about earlier, that he is the health of your countenance, in the light of thy countenance. So in the light of God's word, he is going to supernaturally impress upon you peace and love and joy. You know the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. And his countenance, God's countenance, is what's going to make you healthier in how you think and how you look and how you live the rest of your life out in this world. But notice, what is the habitation of his throne? Justice and judgment. You need to learn that thing which is right and good, and that which is wrong according to God's perspective of how you're living your life today. That's the only way you're going to be able to enjoy the countenance of God's truths, if you're going to allow the fullness of his judgments to be imparted to you and for you to believe and respond in faith to it. Again, that's why carnal Christians struggle with this, because they're trying to feed that little cup as it gets empty. Every time they hear a wind of doctrine there or a wind of doctrine over there, they try to keep that thing filled, because they're not going to be able to constantly get that from just straight Bible and a Bible-based church like ours. They're going to try to keep searching and seeking people online and elsewhere other than their own local pastor, and it's a sad thing. It's a real sad thing. Psalm chapter number 90, the next chapter to the right-hand side, Psalm 90, and we're going to start reading here from verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, because they're two different things, we'll get into that later on, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You know, that's a good place to start. God, I just want to remind myself, you are eternal. I am temporal. Like me, I'm just going to be on this planet, you know, that you made, just for a season. I'm going to die, you know, all these things I'm going through. Lord, you are eternal. These things that we're going through, they're all temporal. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, you children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins. Now watch this. In the light of thy countenance. How about that? You know what else is in the light of his word? It is the heart-to-heart conversation, so to speak, that I'm giving you a figurative understanding of. When you sin in your heart secretly, that is made known to him. It is known to him, and whatever his word sets forth as his thoughts towards that, it's there. It's presently available in the light of his truth. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, you know what he's saying, man? God, we only live up to 70, but if we could, by strength, maybe taking care of yourself, 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Here it is. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Where are you going to get the light and truth of his wisdom? It's going to be from his word. You know where you want to be at every day? You want to be like that in Psalm 90:12. Lord, teach me from your word, your thoughts and your judgments and your perspective of how I feel, how I'm trying to interpret life around me, so that I can apply my heart to your wisdom. That's what I want to do, church. That's how we're going to be persuaded, like Paul was, that whatever he stated now for you as a Christian, born again in Christ, that love which is inseparable from anything that you're going to face, it is true. Nothing's going to separate his love from you. But when other things are influencing you, hence the evil communications that are going to corrupt those good manners, you need to get back into that word of God and say, God, I need you to teach me. Sorry about that. Sorry for my doubts, Lord. Sorry for my fears, Lord. Can you teach me, man? I need to apply that wisdom. And last psalm reference here, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalms 119 is the longest psalm in the Holy Bible. Very good verses about God's word. If you want anything to pump you up, there it is. Psalms 119, 105. Psalms 119, 105. And by the way, if anybody notices our Baptist flyer banner here, our middle verse here is Psalms 119, 105. Now think about this logo when we read it. Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Anybody see the logo here? You see a lamp, amen? And a light unto my path. What do you see here? Fire. It's a light. You know what's going to help you determining the direction you should go is the word of God. You know what's going to help you feel more peaceful within your heart and your mind about the circumstance you're going through? The word of God, because he is your health and your countenance, like the psalmist recognized. Go down with me to verse 130, same chapter. 130. The entrance, are you ready now? I mean, this verse is going to prove it. The entrance of thy words giveth light. There it is, right there. It, his words, giveth understanding unto the simple. So, Christian, remember that back in Romans 8. If I walk after the flesh, I'm minding the things of the flesh, I'm walking back in my previous state of darkness because of sin and Satan's power over me before Christ, before I became born again by trusting Christ, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. It's darkness. I think I hear God's voice. I think my feelings are the conscience spirit of God's voice in my heart. So therefore, I'm justifying my decision-making in my path of darkness. But wait a second. A brother comes to re-examine my speech and my doctrine and what I'm doing with my life. Hey, but I like living with my girlfriend. You know, I like doing this. I don't really have to go to church all the time. I don't really have to give my finances. In other words, you're trying to share what you believe in with somebody that knows the word, that's trying to help you with the word. And when you allow those words of God to come into your heart and you believe it, that word of God is what's going to give you understanding. But when you reject God's word, don't care about the preacher just because I'm brown-skinned, small, 27 years old. I'm just giving you the words of God. If you reject that, you're going to walk in darkness. That's sad. Because you're saved if you're a Christian and you're walking yet in darkness. You go back to living out your life like that. So after reading a little bit more of God's word this afternoon, we are able to receive two things. One, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, we are able to receive his word, if we believe it, we're able to receive doctrine, that's teaching. We're able to receive reproof, to be reproved when we are in error. We're able to receive correction about a thing we may have thought or believed on. And most of all, we're able to receive instruction in righteousness. Three verses that I'd like to show you about being instructed in righteousness. Psalm, you can look up to the screen for these. I'm going to go through these quickly. Psalm chapter number 8. Psalm chapter 8, verse number 6. Being instructed in righteousness. Psalm. Oh, wow. I think I misquoted that verse in my note taken. Man, what happened to that verse? That was such a good verse. Let me try 18. I don't know. I think I may have missed a number here in my equation. All right. Let's scratch that verse, the first one. Let's go ahead and turn our Bible to Isaiah 45:19. I'm just going to quickly show you about being instructed in righteousness, that which is right in the sight of God. Isaiah 45, verse number 19. The Word of God says here, I have not spoken in secret. How about that? You know what? I don't mean a side trail or side going a rabbit trail, but again, this is just a little nugget of preaching, okay? God said, I've not spoken in secret, all right? Private interpretation, 1 Peter warns us, 2 Peter warns us, the scripture is of no private interpretation. All these supposed Christians that want to tell you that God spoke to them in secret. You know, God told me, because nobody else, no one else knows what they said. No one else can see the thing that God supposedly told them when they were not around anybody else. It was a secret place. You know what the Lord said? I've not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. Whatever he's revealed, he's already revealed it in this written word. These brethren that supposedly hear God's voice, they're foolish. Bible says, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. God never told Israel, seek me in vain. You know what the Lord said? I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. All scripture, praise God, I believe it. It's profitable to instruct me in righteousness. That means what? Right living, to live right. Hosea 14:9. Haven't visited the book of Hosea in a long time. Hosea 14, verse number 9. You can look up to the screen, don't worry. Hosea chapter 14, verse number 9. Look at what that Bible says. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Hosea said the just shall walk in them. The question, friend, is, are you walking in the things that God has declared which are right? Are you being instructed in righteousness? Romans 15:4 tells us the second thing we can learn from those verses we were just talking about there in the Psalms is that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You see, the Word of God is able to do a lot for you. It's able to be the light. It's able to be the truth. It's able to be the health of your countenance, maybe how you physically, literally look at times because you're so stressed out and so depressed by the world and everything because you're somehow, some way in your mind, not believing the Word of God. Maybe, again, however you're meditating upon life and how you interpret it, it's able to supernaturally have its effect on you. It's able to teach you. It's able to correct you. It's able to reprove you. It's able to instruct you in that which is right. We're able to learn from it if you believe it. How can we prosper in the truths revealed to us in His Word? How can we be persuaded by the things revealed unto us? The answer, my friend, is only by faith in them. It's only by faith in those things. It's not our feelings. It's only by faith. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. Remember that, all the Psalms, in truth and mercy. The word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Christian that's not going to grow in their faith and understanding is the Christian who does not believe the words of God. They can hear it all day long on their YouTube online pastor preacher, Google search pastor preacher doctrine to try to justify a thing they want to believe in that's not right. They're not going to grow because they're not going to simply believe what's already been revealed in the scriptures.
the light of his word, which is available to lead and direct them, is darkened when their heart is rejecting the truth rather than believing the truth. It only works if you believe it. So before we close, let's be encouraged and be reminded, just like Paul said, man, I'm persuaded. I'm going to let the word of God persuade me now that I know what it says. It's truth. It's right. It's able to correct me. It's able to teach me. I'm able to learn. I'm a simple man. God says, I'll teach you. I'll give you understanding. I'm able to do all those things by faith in his word. So now I'm going to persuade myself. Hope you are. Paul says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. The first things that he's persuaded of is neither death nor life can separate the love of God, which is in Christ. Two places about death and life. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In regards to death and life, we read this in our Sunday school hour for those of you guys that were here. 1 Corinthians 15:20-22, the word of God says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. You know why? Because Christ is alive, I shall be made alive too. Death did not hold Christ in that grave. Death is not going to hold me in the grave. That's the first answer verse to this, the first half of the things that are unable to separate us from the love of God is by the resurrection of Jesus. The next scripture reference there in regards to life or death is Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 4. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life. Talk about the psalmist. God, you are the countenance of my life. You are the hope of my life. Shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's how I know that death nor life can separate me from his love, because the word of God, the Holy Ghost telling the apostles to write doctrine for the Christians to understand and to believe his words and his decrees given from heaven, is that I'm going to come back with Jesus. I'm going to come back with Jesus. What else does Romans 8 tell us here? Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Those things are not able to separate the love of God. You're in Colossians, go to chapter 2, just one chapter to the left. Colossians 2, let's go read down here in verse number 10. Colossians 2:10 states, and ye, talking to the Christians, are complete in him, talking about Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. How about that? Go down to verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Paul said, I'm persuaded. What are we reading, church? The scriptures. They are able to be the light. The mercies and judgments and truths of God are able to lead you and direct you. They're able to supernaturally change how you think and feel, and your body can literally be that much more happy and joyful as you're going through your circumstance that you're in right now in life. I'm proving to you right now that life or death doesn't have a hold on God's love in your heart. Principalities and powers and angels, they don't, because the Bible just told you that he's the head of them. And the Bible just told you that he spoiled them on that cross. He triumphed over the devil and devils and all these principalities and powers. That's why Paul would say we're more than conquerors through him, because he already did it. The next thing Paul says here in Romans 8 is nor things present nor things to come. Do you see that? Nor things present nor things to come. Ephesians chapter... Oh, no, sorry.
one more place about the principalities and angels. Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16, because we know that he triumphed over them. Look at the future state or the future appointment that Satan has coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 16, verse number 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All these Christians that are weak because they're not trusting God's word, they're not listening to Bible-based preachers like our churches and our church styles. They're paying way too much attention to Satan and devils and angels and listening to men that are giving more teaching about that invisible realm than God's word. Like there's this horrible false apostle or false teacher guy by the name of John Ramirez out there online. He went and preached at my former church, completely against his doctrine, completely against his teaching, talking about how he's had conversations with Satan and devils and he was involved and all that. I'm telling right now, if it's not in God's word, the thing which is right, God said, he's not revealing anything in a secret place. Whatever he's declared, it's already right here. We have the fullness of his light before us. If it's not in this Bible, it's not of God. Everything that that man teaches to say that is true, it's not biblical. I don't believe anything that man says because it's not in Scripture. You know what God says? He's going to bruise Satan under my feet. You know what God says? He triumphed over them on the cross at Calvary. That's the power that he has over them. So for this man to claim that he was able to transport his spirit and curse cities and villages, that's foolish. I don't know what that fool was smoking, but it definitely was not the word of God. He says here in Romans 8, nor height nor depth. Do you see that? Nor height nor depth is able to separate the love of God. Turn your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Verse 9 through 21. Ephesians 3, verse 9, the Word of God says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Hope you have a King James Bible, friend. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. If you don't have a King James Bible, that verse is probably missing and mutilated in your modern perversion. It's time for you to get the Jesus of the Bible, who is the creator of all things. Amen. To the intent now unto the principalities and powers, now look at this, in heavenly places. Colossians told you he's the head of them all, did it not? He created all things. Does this scripture verse just not prove that to us now? It does. So now, to the intent that those principalities and powers, whoever they are, in heavenly places, the location up there, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, the wisdom being manifold, being displayed through the church, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's the soul. You see, that's the you, the inner man. And the only way you, as the inner man, or if you're a female, the inner woman, will be encouraged by the strength of this word of God here, is if you're going to believe it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. There it is. Which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What did Colossians 2:10 state, Christian? For ye are complete in him. You know what's amazing, Christian? Is we are complete in God. The fullness of God dwells within me because of the love of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit in his ministry to pour out that love upon my heart is available to me now in Christ, and I'm able to comprehend these spiritual truths.
as I continue to read Bible and study Bible, you know what? It really is persuading me now. Man, I really do believe that nothing can separate God's love for me. Man, I really do believe that I'm going to go to heaven forever and live in an everlasting life with Christ. I really do believe all these things that God's word presents to me because I'm in Christ. The last thing that we see there in Romans 8:39, nor any other creature. Do you see that? Nor any other creature. Last verse of reference. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation, the 21st chapter. Bible's good. Bible's good. Hope you believe it. Amen. Revelation 21. Bible says here, starting in verse number 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Church, I believe that. I am persuaded that I'm going to live in God's presence for the rest of eternity because I'm in Christ. And so far, his word has not proven itself wrong. Everything that he stated, remember that thing that he declares? It's only right. It's true. God says he's going to live with me, and I'm going to live with him. You are too if you're a Christian. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. How about that? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Are you sorrowful, Christian? Having a bad day today? Are you going through sins and the effects of your own sin and the sins of others? You know what God says? One day he's going to wipe away all those tears. Are you being persuaded now by the scriptures that I'm presenting to you to hope in God, who is the light and health of your countenance? There shall be no more death, praise God. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. How about that, Christian? You feeling pain because of sickness? You feeling pain because of old age? You feeling pain because the hurtful words that one may speak to you? One day God says he's going to wipe away all that away. You're not going to feel that anymore. Praise God, I'm looking for that. I am persuaded that nothing is able to separate me from the love of Jesus. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words, are you ready now? True and faithful. Can it be any clearer to your church what I'm presenting to you? Can there be any more reason to persuade you in this message? To hope in God and his word. That's the light of your life. Let his word lead you, guide you, and direct you, not your feelings, not your sensations. The Lord himself said, write these things because these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. What did the psalmist say? With thee is the fountain of life. Jesus is God. Praise the Lord. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Wow. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Man, I'm looking forward to him saying that. I'm looking forward to Jesus saying son. I'm looking forward to the Lord calling you daughter if you're a sister in Christ. But the fearful. Now watch this. Remember that creature there in Romans 8:39 that's unable to separate you? But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know what God's going to do? He's going to separate all that you just read in verse 8 from his presence forever. That's why no creature is able to separate his love from you, which is in Christ today. Right now, you and I are surrounded by the fearful. We are surrounded by the unbeliever. We are surrounded by the abominable acts of wicked men and women. We are surrounded by murderers. We're surrounded by whoremongers. We're surrounded by sorcerers, idolaters, and we're surrounded by liars. But you know what, church? God says one day, he's going to raise them up from the dead.
He's going to judge them at the white throne, and he's going to cast them into that lake of fire forever. Separate them completely from not only himself first and foremost, but from you and I in Christ. That's why there's nothing that is able to separate the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No creature, nor angel, nor principality, nor thing present, nor things to come. None of that. But Paul said he's persuaded. I hope today that at the end of this message, you are persuaded by the scriptures that we've presented to you today. Not our church tradition, not how I feel or what Brother Carlos thinks the Spirit of God told him to say. No, no, this is just Bible. And the God of the Bible commanded me to study to present it to you to be apt to teach. That's all I'm doing. I'm just being an obedient brother in Christ to teach you God's word, because that's what's going to build you up. That's what's going to be the strength of your countenance. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, O God. We thank you for the study of your word. Lord, you promised that your word would be our health. It'll strengthen our countenance, Lord. You promised that your word is the light of our life. Lord, for any Christian that's listening to my voice here today that's struggling in life with secret sin or the affairs of this life, Lord, Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen them by reminding them of what you said, reminding them of your love, reminding them of your truths that you have declared for them forever, that if they put their faith and trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing is able to separate your love from their soul today. I thank you, God, that although I may be poor in the flesh, I may not have much material, I may not have the things that this world exalts. Lord, you said that which is highly exalted among men is abomination to you in your sight, God. I don't seek to meet the standard of the world by the devil's foundations, Lord, of sin and the lust of the flesh that wars against my soul. Lord, I seek to be found being built upon your words, Lord, which are able to guide me, which are able to lead me, which are able to give me hope, which are able to remind me of the truths that you have for me, Lord, that one day I'm going to meet you in heaven. You have a place for me to live. You have something for me to do for you forever. And you're going to wipe away all my tears, and you're going to wipe away all my pain, Lord. I thank you that we as Christians have that to look forward to. No matter what we're facing, that God, we can truly rejoice in the love which is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this church, Lord. We pray that that you keep us safe as we all depart today, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, church, the Lord bless you. Thank you for tuning in online, and we look forward to seeing you guys Wednesday night for Bible study. The Lord bless you.